Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, but fret not, friends. She will be returning on Monday. We have a wonderful show ahead of you for the next hour. Welcome those in Madison just tuning in, and welcome to the show, Amy Westrup, who is our morning co-host. She's here all morning long. Amy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
So happy to be here.
And on the ones and the twos is the board lord, Captain Sly. Dr. Slide, captain in the Navy. That's true, right? I'm right, right?
Yeah, Calvin? The Space Navy.
Space Force.
I think he's Vice Admiral.
How are you doing, Calvin?
Living the dream.
Living the dream. Oh. That is, I believe you, too.
Well, I mean it, so you better believe me. Okay.
That's from the heart.
Wait a minute. When did I get aggressive, Calvin? That's not fair.
See, no, it's here to play.
I mean, you don't do this to Earl. You don't do this to Jane. Just me. Just like I ask a question, I make a statement. You're like, you better believe me, or I'm going to just run through this window and give you a noogie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It's because I feel safe with you, Greg.
Kind of a brotherly thing going on over here.
I think so indeed. Yeah, we've been talking all morning long. We've been talking about travel, we've been talking about Trump. I'm sorry about that. But of course, you know, the things we got to talk about.
Sure.
We're going to switch gears a little bit to we're not going to talk about Trump.
Or travel.
Well, we can talk more about travel maybe later. But like, we're going to talk about the vice presidential GOP nominee, which is Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. Your lip just went up.
Yeah, he's gross.
He is, but
it's just gross.
Someone sent me this clip of him talking, and it really, like, you know, he's been saying things like childless cat ladies and making commentary on people with no children, even though those people he mentions do have children. Because, you know, you only have children unless they come biologically through a woman and happens through the natural processes ordained by God above, as J.D. Vance sees fit, or what he believes today, because I don't think he believes anything.
Does he believe in the Blessed Virgin Mary? That's not usual.
Unless he's Catholic.
The BVM. I don't know.
I mean, but someone sent this to me, and it prompted me to ask this question, which is J.D. Vance actually okay? Because I can...
No, he's working with Trump.
Okay. I know, but I believe that there is a version of J.D. Vance inside of him that is the real version that he doesn't want to let out.
Okay.
He's trying to find where he belongs.
Okay.
You know, he comes from, you know, he wrote in his book, he comes from meager beginnings.
Yeah.
Bootstrap story.
Yeah.
Goes to Yale.
Yeah.
Works for a venture capitalist, makes a bunch of money. The American dream.
I have no problem with him going to Yale and working for a venture capitalist at all.
But it doesn't seem like it's good enough then, because we don't get a version of nothing about J.D. Vance seems. There's nothing consistent. There's nothing real. Even if he said, you know, life begins at conception, no exceptions whatsoever, and you know, taxes theft. If he was just a super right-leaning, super right-wing guy, always and forever, then fine. But there's so many versions of J.D. Vance.
Yeah, he's consistently inconsistent.
Exactly. Yeah. So I heard this clip. I'm going to have Calvin play it in a moment. And a lot of people are like, oh, man, I can't believe he keeps talking about women like this in the sense of, like, you know, their viability and being able to give birth. But listening to him just talk in this clip, I really want to be like, can I get a note to him? Is J.D. Vance okay? Calvin, can you play that clip, please?
Fully developed views on this, but to me, what it is sort of a value system to replace the fact that they're all fundamentally atheist or agnostic. They have no real value system. Their only value system is achieve in a very conventional way. And so the idea that somehow they're pursuing racial or gender equity is like the value system that gives their life meaning. Well, of course, they all find that value system leads to misery, leads to unhappiness. And so I think that what happens is, like, whenever you really pursue something, right? Like, let's say a doctor gives you a medicine to cure a disease and it doesn't work, right? The patient gets worse. Well, you can conclude one of two things. Either the medicine isn't working, or the patient was so sick that what they need is even more of the medicine that you originally prescribed. And I think the gender inequity stuff is like, we need more of the medicine. Okay, clearly this value set has made me a miserable person who can't have kids because I already, you know, passed the biological period when it was possible. And I live in a 1,200 square foot apartment in New York and I pay $5,000 a month for it. But I'm really better than these other people. What I'm going to do is project my like racial and gender sensitivities on the rest of them. And like the reason that our society is broken is because these people don't think the exact way that I think. Even though the way that I think has made me a miserable person, I just need to make more people think like that. So we're going to teach this in our schools, in our universities, even in our elementary schools, because once everybody agrees with me, then everything will finally come full circle and we'll have a happy, healthy society.
Well, he starts by saying, not that I have a fully developed thought process on this, then stop.
Yeah.
You've admitted you don't know what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah.
So just stop. And I mean, $5,000 for a 12,000 foot, that's not the worst deal
Is it uptown, upper west side?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. What are we talking?
But like, that was the thing is listening to that. It just seems like he's meandering over the place. And he has so many points he thinks he needs to cover that he talks about gender inequalities. He talks about motherhood.
Your inability to become a mother.
Exactly.
Because you dried up.
So now you want to push DEI in school? Like, it made no sense whatsoever, where I just would have given money to see the person interviewing going like, what are you talking about right now? Calvin, what are your thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, it's just really rich. His meager beginnings and being able to go to Yale is an example of affirmative action. Affirmative action just isn't for minorities. It's for anyone with a diverse or troubled or any kind of background like that.
Yeah, and I think he may have gone to Yale on the GI Bill as well.
I mean, that's
right, yes, I agree with you, Calvin. Like that's the thing. But it's the adage of like, no, it was fine for me to use the programs and take, but now that I've found success, now that they work for me, I don't want anyone else to have them.
Yeah, I mean,
the arguments across the board with programs that government funded programs across the board.
That's something I've wanted to talk about for a while too, is this, like, we talked about it last week a little bit with Ronnie Starbuck and his trying to crush, being a failed music video director, but now working to crush DEI in corporations. They're like,
that's
Jack Daniels and
Harley Davidson,
John Deere, yeah. Polaris, or the other one. There were some other ones as well. Point is, it's this notion of DEI, and we can talk about that more, but like, because you're right, Calvin. DEI does not just, like, when people think DEI nowadays, they're thinking, oh, it's helping quote unquote minorities get a leg up where I don't have. No, this is helping anybody who comes from a diverse background. And that does not just mean the color of your skin or your assigned sex at birth. It has to do with, are you a vet? Are you a woman? And we don't get in those conversations because he doesn't want to have them, but it's just a nonsensical word salad coming out of his face.
Well, and it's so hypocritical too, because then he's like, and so you want to teach this in the school? If somebody doesn't agree with you, you want to change everything and teach it to the schools and indoctrinate our kids. Isn't that exactly what you want to do? Isn't that what you and Trump want to do? Like, you don't believe us? Get the hell out.
Yeah.
Get the heck out. But sorry, I swore. But the hypocrisy is, it's just so glaring. Mm-hmm. I like that the doctor analogy. Well, one of two things: either the medicine didn't work and they're getting sicker, or you just need to give them more medicine. No, in science, in medicine, there could be a myriad of things going on why the medicine isn't working.
It could be a different medicine we need.
Perhaps you were misdiagnosed.
Yes.
This gentleman has been misdiagnosed as a viable candidate for vice president of the United States.
Boom, right there. I love that. That's funny.
Yeah.
There's a comedian from California named Guy Branum who's just brilliant.
Okay.
I love him. And he wrote something very specific and very smart on this. And this goes back to when J.D. Vance was trying to order donuts a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just so hard to watch. And then I get it. Politicians aren't like, they're not movie stars. And some of them aren't as, charming as others. But his whole approach to the thing was just, once again, makes you wonder if there's if he is okay. And when I say that, folks, I'm not trying to be mean or funny or anything. I truly mean it. Is J.D. Vance okay? And Guy wrote this in response to that moment in the donut shop. He goes, "The saddest part about J.D. Vance has nothing in common." The saddest part is not that J.D. Vance has nothing in common with these people who work at the donut shop. It's that he does. And he's terrified of their judgment. He knows they're judging him. He knows he's not a real man to them. And he knows, and he's miserable in his own skin. I know because I've been him. And full disclosure, Guy is gay. Guy came out. This is not to say that J.D. Vance is in the closet as far as orientation. But I think he is just keeping this real version of him inside himself. And he will not let it out for fear of judgment. So now he's just turning into this person. And it goes, I mean, in 2016, he said Trump was America's Hitler.
He's insecure, but guided by ambition.
Yeah.
And so literally he's like, "I will join this ticket. You can mold me into anything you want. I do not care. Yeah. I just want to be the vice president." He's dealing with the presidential candidate who is, you know, there's nothing coherent about him currently. Yeah. So I have no doubt that he's like, "Oh wait, I have to do all the heavy lifting here." Right? Cuz it regardless of what Trump says, everyone goes to him to like, "Okay, back it up. What does this mean?" Mm-hmm. He probably has no idea. You know, the people, unfortunately, and one thing that I hope comes out of this election cycle and with Harris and Walz is that people that would be great politicians and good, even on a local and national level, will come out and actually put their hat in the ring. Because currently the only people that do are people that want to be like C-list and B-list celebrities because of social media, and they want to get in it. And I think he is one of them.
I completely agree with you. And I agree that hopefully more people will throw their hats on, especially at the local level. Those local spots. We're going to keep the discussion going with another installment of Let's Not Do This.
Yeah.
And folks, it will get a little gross. Still talking about J.D. Vance. All right. Don't go anywhere, folks. We are talking on Matt and Aaron Air. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Back soon. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, and she will be returning back on Monday. We are so happy you are here with us this morning. We have the wonderful, the resplendent, I love that word.
Resplendent.
Exactly. Amy Westrup sounds here like as our
non-sugar sweetener.
Exactly. As our guest host this morning, all morning long. We've also got Sweet Cal B on the boards today, and we're talking about J.D. Vance. We're asking the question, is he okay? And I guess what we have to now expand that question out to is, are the supporters okay? We are in the section we like to call Let's Not Do This, because I guess, and this was brought to my attention by Angela Lang yesterday, and I think Calvin as well, I'm not sure, but one of the two of you brought this. Apparently, J.D. Vance's supporters are now carrying cups of his specimen around. I know that sounds gross, and I apologize to the...
Oh, it sounds gross because it is gross.
They're carrying...
Specimen cups. Okay.
I don't think there's anything in there. I think they're just carrying...
if it's from J.D. Vance.
Yeah. There's
nothing viable.
And
sorry.
They're carrying cups around that say, J.D. Vance for family... planning or something like that. And basically it's
some rhyming missteps.
It could have been pants. Good alliteration.
Chance. Wow. Future Trump voters in a jar.
This goes back to
You're speechless.
I'm speechless because this goes back to what we were talking about before earlier in the show. This is not something that level-headed people are going to do. This is not something I've never heard of a liberal or a Democrat or even a center-right Republican who loves someone so much they're going to do this as a joke. First of all, this is really hurtful because they're making fun of women and men who cannot have children or are having trouble conceiving.
Yeah.
This is what the whole point of this is.
It's a whole new definition of low T.
Yes. There you go.
It's just writing itself. Really,
I know.
At this point.
But like.
Well, okay. Now the other side could argue that what's the difference between that and like the million uterus march? Don't get me wrong, but like the, why would you walk around with a uterus and da 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 da, you know, and march that way? Completely different. I understand. I think the argument on that side is, oh, you find this offensive, you find it gross. Well, we find that offensive and we find that gross. And it's like, okay, I guess fair play. But this is, to your point, talking about people's inability to conceive naturally, in quotes, right? It's like, stay the heck out of people's business, out of their bedrooms. And I mean, God forbid anything happens to J.D. Vance's wife that would prevent her or having any issues in that area. I don't know and really anything about, nor should I know anything about their reproductive history. That's the whole thing. It's nobody's business.
Well, I would venture to say that it's not a fair comparison because women who marched on Washington wearing their hats,
yeah,
they were doing it to protect their rights.
Agreed.
They weren't
100%.
Doing this. The hats weren't to say, you know what? I have one of these, therefore I can have a baby. Sorry, guys, you can't. So you suck. It was about protecting your rights, protecting the ability to choose, and protecting your access to healthcare. That's how I see it. What this is just another notch in the belt of horrible things to do to people. Okay, so people can't have children, so they're less than? Well, yes, they are, according to their guy.
Right. And by the way, why are you only blaming women for not being able to reproduce? You know, those specimen cups are sperm samples based on, you know, sperm count when men cannot produce enough viable sperm to fertilize an egg. So it's like, oh, so now nobody is safe. Like you're ripping on that too. Like it's just so nonsensical and it's gross. I mean, on some level, it's like, I want to know what's actually in the jar.
I don't.
Mayonnaise or something?
I don't. I want them to explain to me how they think this is funny, personally.
Are they doing it as a joke or are they kind of serious about it?
No, I think they're being funny. Okay, because it's a picture of his face. It says J.D. Vance, full family kit. And it's them just sticking up for the rancid things that they're. So
he just wants to father a bunch of children.
Well, they're saying if your husband can't do it, let JD do it. Here you go.
What does the D stand for in JD?
Oh, I can't say it on the air.
Yeah,
but I will say this: when I was looking up.
First
this
of all, they don't know the first thing about science because that needs to be refrigerated. Those are no longer viable.
I think the knowing science train has left the station.
They're going to have like a lemonade stand equivalent at one of these rallies. It's got to be refrigerated. I'm just saying. there are little JDs, you know. These are future JDs in peril. Don't they care?
I'm just going to let you keep going.
No. I'll never be invited back to anywhere.
I looked this up just to see more about it. And the first thing that popped up was a Snopes article. For those who don't know what Snopes is, Snopes looks at claims, videos, articles, and tries to look at their viability as, is this true? Is it not true? Now, in full disclosure mode, Snopes wrote about this, that they cannot claim that it is true or untrue. They basically didn't have the evidence.
That they're carrying it or that it's full of J.D. Vance's
personage. That these aren't AI-generated images.
Gotcha, yeah.
And I will say that I think the fact that Snopes not being able to say yes or no says a lot because this is within the brand of this campaign. To do something like this, that is, as a sight gag, they love their sight gags. That campaign loves sight gags.
Yeah.
But something that would also just be like, oh, are you going through a problem in your life? Let me do something that'll make you feel worse.
So should the Democrats march with like turkey basters? What's the response? I don't know. Well, it's so ridiculous.
But that's the thing is they can't.
Yeah.
If they do anything.
Yeah.
They are insensitive. They are rude. They are anti-American. Yeah. They are anti. They once again, it goes back to what we discussed earlier. It is that double standard that I just absolutely despise, that they can do junk like this and make fun of women and men who are going through a really hard time in their life.
Yeah. And I have to believe, I mean, I don't know any of the statistics, but there have to be a very large number of Republicans out there and supporters of Trump who have had these issues, right?
The vice president, Mike Pence, had it.
Yeah.
Like it is not, it is this is not something that afflicts a party. No. This afflicts everybody. And
for the party of like, oh, you know, go children, go, like we want to, you know, procreate and populate. Like it's just ironic. And
so I'm just going to say, J.D. Vance specimen cups.
Keep it in your pants, J.D. Vance.
Let's not do this.
Yeah, it's
let's
disgusting.
Not do this. All right, we're gonna take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna be talking about music, campaign music. Sure. We're gonna be talking about why can't people understand how copyright works, and maybe the band that you're playing doesn't like you. So don't go anywhere. Feel free to call in 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, will be returning to us on Monday. I've got across from me Amy Westrup, our morning co-host. Great to have you here, Amy.
Great to be here.
And we have, of course, behind the boards, Sweet Calby, the board lord, Dr. Slide. Calvin, how you doing now, Calvin? You feeling better now that you're playing that rockin' music?
I always feel good, Greg.
I love
this. Booked a trip to Thailand.
This is a new dynamic for us now. It's like, how you feeling, Cal? I'm always good, man. I'm always good. You played some Rage Against the Machine right there as our opening music, and we did that for a reason. Something that's been rattling in my brain for some time now is, and we've all heard it too, we've all seen it throughout the years in campaigning, and that is the fact that a candidate, and sorry to say, it's usually a member of the GOP, plays a song at a rally, plays a song at some sort of gathering, and the artist gets a hold of that information and says, hey, stop playing my music.
Yeah.
I don't like you. But they continue to do it every single election cycle. They're always playing.
I just apologize later.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Exactly. But like, one of the biggest ones ever to me was, and it still happens to this day, is when Republicans play Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen. I mean, the levels of idiocy that go into that.
Although Dukakis playing Allentown, that was something else.
I mean, that's just
like, listen to the lyrics, my friend. That's, oh my God. No, but your point being, they never listen to the lyrics. Ever. Ever.
No.
They never, yeah. It's like, oh, it was a number one hit. Yeah, let's play it. Oh, it says USA. Great, let's play it.
They really, really like, yeah. I mean, for those who don't know by this point, Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA is not a song about fist-pumping, star-spangled awesomeness. It's a song about the downtrodden, the working class, and being just like a person trying to survive in this country. And and yet they're like, yeah, we're born in the USA. It's like, that was not a compliment. That's not a really...
Just play that line on loop, but nothing else. Right. Just sample that.
Born in the USA over and over. And over. It would take about 10 minutes before people would be like, we've been listening to this song for a while, haven't we?
Yeah.
But it's happened recently. Foo Fighters threatened to sue if if Donald Trump's campaign still played one of their songs.
And they said kept playing it.
They kept playing and they said, if you do this, we're going to sue you and we're going to give all the money to the Harris-Wallace campaign.
No, they said, well, we have the license for that.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, all right, fine. We didn't approve the usage. It violates our publicity.
Yeah.
It's because it's viewed as an endorsement.
Yes.
Now, they bought the license for that Foo Fighters song. They're using it. So then the Foo Fighters came back and said, fine, any royalties we make off of that license, we are donating to this campaign.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it originally was,
we're going to sue you. So, okay. They
Well, and I think they did to do like a cease and desist, but they said, well, we have a license to play the song, but they were not asked permission if they had been, then they wouldn't have granted it.
Mm-hmm.
So the permission, so just to get a little technical, there are some legal protections for artists around the use of their name, image, or likeness. So their song in and of itself it's the song, and you can buy a license for that song. The use of that song, though, even with a public performance license to play a song at a rally, the Trump campaign could be in violation of the artist's publicity rights or a false endorsement where the use of the artist's work implies an artist supports the candidate. So in order for them to use that song at a political campaign, like at a rally or on social media, they would have to reach out to not only the artist, but all of the songwriters.
Yeah.
Right. And get their permission. And that's what they didn't do. They bought a license to use the song, but not in that way. And my biggest too is the best was Celine Dion.
Yeah.
They use My Heart Will Go On, but they also use a video of her singing it. And it's like, they're just so stupid and obtuse. And she's like, first of all, never. And she's Canadian. And so she's
and
like,
she's French-Canadian,
she's
too.
She's Quebecois, right? So not only would we have not approved it, that song, but also like using the video, but they don't care.
Yeah.
And they don't care. The damage is done. It's just like everything else. Like, oh, well, sue us then. We'll pay on the back end. And it's just like, so that's why I do love how the Foo Fighters are like, fine, if we make any money off of this, it's going to the other side, or when we make money off of it. And yeah, so it's sticky. Right? Because these artists do license their works. They make money off of those licenses.
As they should.
Absolutely. But it's precarious for sure. I like there's a huge list of all of the artists.
I had that list. We'll talk about that in a second. But before we go any further, Mark from Prairie du Sac is on the line. Mark, what say you, friend?
Yeah, there was just an article in the Wall Street Journal I saw in my feed this morning about Bruce Springsteen's son born in the U.S. And you brought up the fact that it is a song about the frustrations in America, about how the American dream is not really there. And the Republicans play that they do not, like you said, they do not listen to the lyrics. They do not seem to understand that it's an indictment against, you know, that some of the stuff America has done and the promises it has failed to meet up to. And they just keep, like you said, they keep going on and taking whatever they want and then whining when people, you know, call them on it. I mean, that's the other part that gets me is that, oh, no, it's for Isaac Hayes. No, it was okay for us to do that because he didn't condemn us back how many years ago. And so that's tacit approval of us using his lyrics, I mean, and his song. So it just is, you know, and, you know, it's been Donald Trump's whole life is that, yeah, I'll violate you and cheat you, and then you have to sue me, and that and I have bottomless pockets because I'm Donald Trump, and you're SOL because I'm Donald Trump, and it's time to put an end to that.
I don't disagree with that. I think that's, you know, that rings true to the conversations we've had before about the fact that there also seems to be no consequences for that sort of action as well.
Well, there could be, because what happens is what, you know, so I'm using the Foo Fighters as an example, because the majority of the people aren't going to go and do a deep dive on the legality of any of this. And they're just going to make an assumption, right? So that gets in the way of potential sales by the Foo Fighters, right? If people are like, I'm not supporting them. So it's, there are statutory damages related to this. And you could say like tortious interference. It's preventing us from selling more records or booking more tour dates because you associate with that. He should just stick with like Kid Rock. Just
Kid Rock and Lee
Greenwood.
He
samples everyone else's songs anyway, so it doesn't matter. But it's really interesting. And on the back end, these artists. And I mean, you don't want to be painted with that brush. I'm sure there are artists on the other side that don't want to be painted with the Democratic. I'm sure it happens on both sides, but it seems to happen more on the Republican side lately. Yeah. And the choice of songs are ridiculous.
I mean,
like, I don't know why. I mean, his campaign manager said they used Freedom, Beyonce's Freedom, in one of their social media ads to elicit this exact response. And he said, see, they're trying to ban everything. They're trying to take everything away from us, even our freedom. They fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And it's just like, well, have fun in court because she's just going to own you. But that's the other thing. They never pay any of their bills. So who knows?
No,
who knows what they're going to get?
Yeah. Mark, I want to thank you for calling. Calvin, you had something to say?
Well, I just wanted to throw out another classic song they use that they don't listen to the lyrics. CCR's Fortunate Son.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
That song is dripping with sarcasm and discontent. Classic John Fogerty. Just, I mean, yeah, they don't.
It's like Margaret Thatcher using a Clash anthem back in the day.
Oh, my God.
Like, are you kidding me right now?
Andrew from Maine says on the live stream, he says, do attendees have to pay to attend the rallies? Could artist slash owner of the music sue for royalties or a percentage at the gate? Generally, Andrew, unless it's a high-priced, like, special event where, like,
you might get a
little bit of access, or it's you and 50 other people, it's usually free. You're usually signing up on their website. They let you know, you get the free ticket, and you go in, and there's no money. The only money that's being spent is if they're selling stuff, and those are generally third-party distributors selling their Trump wares, or really any candidates.
Campaign stuff, but it's not...
But it's not going to cost.
You're not paying at the gate.
Yeah, you're not paying at the gate, and they're not going to make enough money to be able to make money off of that event. But yeah, I mean,
in theory, yeah, I mean, if you're having an event where you are making money, like, you know, I can't use a Beyonce song when I go and do a comedy show and be like, yeah, I mean, you know, because I just make tens of dollars doing that anyway.
I will send you a percentage of my $1,000.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, the list that. Of people, there is a Wikipedia page titled "Musicians Who Oppose Donald Trump's Use of Their Music." ABBA, Adele, Aerosmith—it's all alphabetical. Aha, The Animals, The Beatles, Beyonce, Bruce Springsteen, Celine Dion, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Earth, Wind, and Fire, Eddie Grant, Elton John, Everlast—he was a rapper in House of Pain. Jump around,
yeah.
The Foo Fighters, the band Free, which, wow. Guns N' Roses, Isaac Hayes, which the Isaac Hayes thing is very, very new. That just came across the headlines like this week.
Yeah. But his estate went to town and cease and desist and took him to court. And there's a lot of.
Here are a couple of weird ones. Luciano Pavarotti.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Who was Ozzy Osbourne? Probably playing Crazy Train.
Well, actually, that's apropos.
Fair point. Sinead O'Connor.
Oh, yeah. Nothing Compares to You.
Which I'm sure
Prince got real upset. Doubling down.
And, I mean, does anyone want to tell him about the Village People?
His only song should be Send Lawyers, Guns, and Money. That's the only one he should
Which is
be.
The theme
or,
song.
Or Better Get a Lawyer, Son. Who sings that? I think it's an Australian group. Better Get a Lawyer, Son.
Yeah.
Make it a real good one. Oh, it's a great song.
Is it Midnight Oil?
No. It's the other Australian band. Not in excess.
AC/DC, Jet.
No. I'm going to pull it up. It's a great one.
Olivia Newton-John, Calvin. But yeah, I mean, to me, it just doesn't make sense. There are a ton of artists out there who would love to have Trump.
Oh, the Cruel Sea. The Cruel Sea.
Okay.
That's the band. They're Australian.
But Lawyers, Guns, and Money is
better
a great
get
song.
Better Get a Lawyer. Yeah. That's the, that should be his theme song. it's astonishing, the songs that they have selected. I want to know in what context My Heart Will Go On was used. I did not see it. I've only read stories about it, but playing that video, like, did he come out on the front of a boat? Like, I don't understand.
I'm the king of the world.
Was he a king of the world holding onto the boat? Or did they shove him off a boat? I don't know. Did he sink to the bottom of the ocean?
We got a text here from a guy named Bert in Waukesha. Thank you for listening, Bert. He says, this is on campaign music at a GOP event at the Old Country Springs Hotel. I remember questioning their use of the stone Start Me Up. I mean, what Mick says the woman can do for a dead man is not in line with family values. I'm like, fair point. Fair point. I mean, there's a treasure trove of artists out there who want their songs to be associated with this man. Go find them. And they'll give it to you for free.
But, go to Lake of the Ozarks. I mean, thick on the ground.
The funniest one to me, though, and it's not even a matter of campaign music, and it has to do with what Calvin played, the bumper music, is when Paul Ryan, when asked what his on his iPod, he said, "I love Rage Against the Machine." And wow. Folks, if you don't know what Rage Against the Machine is, it's a band that is the opposite of Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
He said in an interview with Tom Morello, the guitar player, he said, "Paul Ryan is the embodiment of the machine our music rages against."
Yeah.
So I just wonder, do they ever
read? They don't listen to the lyrics.
Yeah. They just want to look cool.
Rage Against the Machine. I mean, Paul Ryan, you know, when he was running all of his, marathons? Question mark. I would get running for that. That would get you pumped. Yeah. Like, hell yeah. Like, just run to Rage Against the Machine. Listen to the lyrics, my friend.
Yeah. They don't like the things you stand for.
Well, they're like poetry. I don't get it. That's usually the quip. But, I don't know. It's insane. I don't know who they would play.
No. Well, Lee Greenwood and Kid Rock.
Yeah.
There you go. We're gonna keep talking here. We got one more segment left for you. Matt and Aaron here today for your Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. We still got Amy. We still got Cal. We still got me. I'm Greg Bach sitting in for Jane Matt and Air. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently on vacation, but will be returning on Monday to all of her glory. We have across from me, we have Amy Westrup, who has been my co-host all morning long. Thank you so much for being here, Amy.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, as always, the very lovable, the sometimes cranky. You got cranky earlier. You got a little cranky with me.
It was not crankiness, Greg. It was playing into the joke.
we're exploring new levels of our friendship, Cal and I are today, and you are here for it, Amy, and you are here right now, folks. And if you have anything you want to contribute today for the show, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream, which we are on Facebook, YouTube, and the website that we still call Twitter in this house. You can also download the Civic Media app and call and text us through that app. Makes it a lot easier, especially when we're doing contests, because you got to text us through the app. And that number is always the same, no matter what you're doing, whether it's texting or calling, 855-752-4842. And you can leave an email with us, janesays@civicmedia.us. Amy, you are a busy, busy bee.
Buzz, buzz.
Buzz, buzz, indeed. Buzz, buzz. And you got stuff going on all the time. And now, we talked last time. We talked not even last week, the week before.
Yeah.
You were a professional player at Comedy Sports.
Yeah.
You've been there for how long now?
9 years.
Nine times. That's amazing. 9 years. What do you have going on for Comedy Sports this weekend?
Oh, man. We've got our regular four shows, 7:30 and 10, both Friday and Saturday nights. Full bar, full restaurant. Great time. Come on down. And then I teach their 101 level. So that starts up on the 19th of September. So
can people still sign up for that?
They sure can. There's still a couple spots. So.
Okay. So let's talk about that for a moment.
Yeah. I'd love to.
That's how I came to Comedy Sports. Yep. I've been going there since I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Because, by the way, Comedy Sports is all ages.
Yes.
And I remember going to a show. It was actually a midnight show, which is not a sanctioned Comedy Sports show. But it was still
for children.
Or for children, yeah. But it's still an improv show.
Fantastic.
And I remember going there and thinking to myself, I want to try this. And I signed up for the 101 class.
Yeah.
Mr. Dave Bogan was my teacher.
Just saw him a couple weeks
ago. And what if people are interested in doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it helps if you're in the southeastern area region of Wisconsin, but you can still sign up.
I have students that have come up from Illinois. They come down from Sheboygan. They come in from Madison. So you hop on our website, cscmke.com. Go to classes, adult classes.
Mm-hmm.
We have four different levels. I teach the 101. There's a 101 class on Tuesdays and a 101 class on Thursdays. I teach Thursdays. It's a great way if you've ever thought, I want to try something new. I want to get out of my comfort zone, or I want to improve speaking. I want to be more comfortable meeting new people. This is a great way to do it. It gets you out of your head and out of your own way.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, one of my sessions, the youngest person was 19 and the oldest person was 78. And by the end of the 8 weeks, they were the best of pals. It's great. It's 8 weeks. The eighth week you do a show, at Comedy Sports. It's open for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's a wonderful way. I also teach all of their corporate workshops. So, going into businesses and organizations and associations, doing kind of team building, but using improv as a tool for communication. One thing I will say is everybody says, oh, I couldn't do that because I'm not funny.
Mm.
First of all, yes, you are, but it's not about being funny, as you know, Greg, because you're
not funny at all.
Not at all.
Not one
it's
bit,
all about,
Calvin.
It's all about connection.
Yeah.
And human connection. And that's something that has been lost in the last, 5 years or so because of forces beyond our control. But getting back and connecting people, making eye contact and really listening, it's really, really powerful. And I really invite people to sign up and show up. And guess what? Sometimes people show up to the first one, they go, it's not for me, and they leave. And that's okay. I admire anyone that takes a step to even sign up.
Yeah.
And it's a big step. But it's huge reward. So I would encourage anyone to do that. We have that. And then we've got Voyager Comedy, which has been going on for 8 or 9 years
mm-hmm.
as well. That's at Landmark Lanes on Tuesday, second Tuesday of every month.
It's free.
It's free. It's in the Moon Room. It combines stand-up and improv. And I think it's one of the best shows in town.
I think it's fantastic. I love that show.
Yeah.
I just said I can't get to it more often.
Yeah.
But it will also be part of the Milwaukee Comedy Festival this year, which
is
next month.
So excited about that.
Which is going to be Sunday the 6th.
Yep.
October the 6th. Tickets are available right now at mkecomedyfest.com.
Yeah.
It'll be the Voyager show featuring comics from the festival.
Yeah. Headliners from the festival.
They will be telling their jokes and improv will be happening. It'll be a good time. And folks, if you get bit by the bug of improv, they have more than it's they have the 101, 102,
103, 104.
104. And then there's the rec league, and they've got all sorts of wonderful ways to get that creativity out there. And it worked for me. I love doing it. But honestly, I think everyone should take a 101 improv class. And I think there
it helps
is
with your confidence.
It helps with your confidence, helps you thinking in the moment. It can help you in your job. I know I've talked to lawyers who've taken improv courses. It helps them with being able to process information, coming up with answers.
I just taught a workshop to a group of doulas.
What?
Yep. Dueling the doulas is what it was called.
I knew you were going to walk away from that one.
No, it was fantastic because, like I said, it's all about being present.
Yeah.
Right? And we do a lot of workshops for in the healthcare area, education fields, corporate, legal, you name it. Supreme Court judges done workshops there.
Really?
Law schools. Yeah. Do it all the time. It's wonderful. And it's for everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Right? Yes.
And if you wake up every morning is an improv scene. Every day is an improv scene. So we just give you some tools on how to navigate that and get the most out of it.
You can look up that information more by going to cscmke.com.
Correct.
You can go to mkecomedyfest.com for more information on the fest coming up.
Also
including
correct.
Voyager.
Yep.
Amy, thank you so much for being a part of the show while I was hosting these past couple weeks.
Your joy. Thank
really,
you for
really
having
enjoy
me.
Having you here. Calvin, as always, cannot do this without you, and I love having you around.
I was
man.
Here
thank
only
you.
For Calvin, actually.
Okay, that hurt one a little bit, but that's okay. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you to our engineers who make this thing go forward. Thank you to our callers, our texters, our live streamers, everyone leaving us comments, letting us know about your life, being a part of the conversation. We appreciate you. Coming up next is the news, but following that will be Todd Alba with the conveniently named Todd Alba Show. from noon to two right here on Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go far. Stay close. Stay hydrated. You are absolutely amazing, and let no one tell you differently. You've been listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.